Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger, today with my fabulous co-host.
Hey, guys. This is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro.
So we got a DM about a question that someone had regarding our in-season and off-season compare and contrast differences. And I thought, what better way to do this podcast today is to basically ask Chris what last year was like compared to this year, because she was able to take a full year of recovery and she got pretty deep into her off season or improvement season. I hate to call it off season because that implies that you're taking time off or something like that.
Right.
You were hitting it hard. So it's an improvement season. Versus dieting or prepping for a show. So specifically, this listener asked for us to talk about supplementation. And you know from our previous podcast that we feel very strongly about that pyramid where supplements are at the very tip top. They're like the last percentage of what you need to have doing correctly. There's got to be a lot of other things that come into play. So obviously adherence and consistency with, sticking to your nutrition is at the bottom of that pyramid, you know, weight training, cardio, all of those things, daily activity, those all play more important factors in, that than your supplementation. And supplementation is exactly what it is. It just, it supplements, basically it fills in the gaps. So stuff that you maybe wouldn't be able to fit into your macros, nutrients that your body needs. So we're going to talk about that. You're going to find that there are going to be some things that we do consistently throughout the year, whether or not we're in the off season or improvement season, or we are dieting for a show when it comes to supplements. So we wanted to address that. But first and foremost, we wanted to tell you the big news. If you haven't already heard, which I'm sure you have, the Olympia has officially, as of yesterday, today's Tuesday, so on Monday, they announced that the Olympia is going to be in December. So do you want to share with our listeners what that date's going to be, Chris?
Yeah, it's going to be December 16th through the 20th. It's going to be the Olympia times.
Yeah, so some other really important dates that have shifted as well. For those of you that have been preparing to try to go for your pro card, a lot of those national pro qualifiers have changed dates as well. So we start off the season, as always, with NPC Junior Nationals. But this year, it's going to be at the very end of August, so the 27th and 29th. Then next, a couple days later, actually, we'll come North Americans in September. If you haven't heard already, the Collegiate and Masters Nationals has been moved October 11th through 15th. NPC Universe is now in November versus July 4th. It's moved to the 12th and 14th, and then NPC Nationals has not really changed. It's still at its same date in Miami, at November 19th and 21st. And then a really big thing that has moved from Vegas, it's usually the end of July, is USA's. And so that is now in conjunction with the show that I did last year. It was this inaugural year of Masters USA's in Los Angeles. Now they are putting those two competitions together. So you'll now be able to go for your pro card in the open classes at USA's November 9th through the 13th. And they still have not changed the date for Junior Nationals in Chicago. So that is still kind of up in the air. But really, right before Christmas, we've got the Olympia. So it's going to be a packed August through December, that's for sure.
Yes, it'll be very busy.
Yeah,
very exciting and very busy.
Do you have any thoughts on those changes, or what are you thinking about
this? Yeah, I think sometimes it can be when we are like shows get pushed back, whether it's, you know, because the actual show, the promoters have moved the show back, or maybe, you know, like in previous times, if your physique hasn't really been on point where you've wanted it to be and you've kind of had to choose a later date, sometimes it could be mentally really, it could be tough because you're like, okay, now I need to push a little bit longer or I need to push farther. And so keeping up that mental stamina can be sometimes daunting. But also on the flip side of the coin, I think that I actually get really excited when I have more time because it gives me a little bit more flexibility to refine what I'm bringing to stage. And I think being a perfectionist, I just always want it to be like on point as much as possible. So I think the extra time is not a bad thing at all. And I think it kind of like evens out the playing field a little bit. And, you know, when you have seasoned competitors that are used to show days at certain times, and then you have, you know, a couple people that maybe it may be their first time competing, or they may, it may be their first time on a pro stage. Everybody's kind of dealing with the same moving target of these show days. So I feel like it levels the playing field out just maybe a little bit. So I mean, I think change can always be a really good thing. So I just choose to look at it positively and, I don't know, just get excited about the extra time to really like bring the best package that you can bring to stage as possible. Like no time is wasted. That's how I look at it.
Yeah. And it's been weird because I think, you know, some people have kind of like either maintained during the quarantine, or some people have actually, you know, like gotten leaner. Some have put on what they are now calling the quarantine 15. You know, it's just, it's, you're going to fall in any of those different camps, but with things being pushed back, it just gives us more time to, like you said, if we did get quarantined, then you just have more time to refine and perfect that package that you've been able to stay on track with. For those of us, you know, that maybe have gone the wayward path, you know, it's giving us some time also to pick ourselves back up. And so,
right.
No time is better than now, you know, to start getting back on track if you've fallen short, and just kind of refocus. So with that, I want to get back to the question that this individual had. So, Chris, can you first of all talk about your – so her specific question was, how do your supplements change from improvement season to prep? So why don't you start with maybe the things that always stay the same, and then we can kind of compare and contrast.
Sure. Well, I always, throughout an improvement season or a dieting season, I'm always having my foundational nutrients. I'm always taking a multivitamin, and I'm always taking a quality fish oil and a probiotic. Those are my three like non-negotiables. And I just feel like the multivitamin is going to provide any extra, micronutrients. The fish oil, because I think, because my, physique is also highly inflammatory, I feel like having good omegas is also always beneficial for that. And then probiotics are always a great idea for gut health. So those are the ones that I always implement no matter what.
Okay. And then I would say for me, I am the same on those three core ones, but I also would include that I take BCAAs daily, just the branched chain amino acids, or an EAA, essential amino acids, because if you think about when you're training, it's basically like you've got the drain pulled on a tub and the water's running and they keep coming out and down the drain. So you want to be sipping on the BCAAs to kind of protect your lean muscle, and so that your training doesn't promote protein degradation. And remember in our Wreck-It Ralph comparison, that's basically your muscles breaking down. So you want to put that on halt. You want to basically continue to pour the BCAAs in during your training so that you you know, are getting the full benefit of muscle protein synthesis. And then it'll also help with, you know, recovery and your turnaround time for your next training session. And another one that also is always in my regimen, no matter if I'm in the improvement season or in a prep, is just glutamine. First of all, it basically repairs any kind of tissue at the cellular level. So when we lift weights, you know, we get micro tears in our muscles. That's how we grow, you know, bigger, fuller muscles. And so we need that glutamine to repair there. But also I use it for my gut health as well, because it does repair even like the lining of the intestines. So there's times even when I will do like a glutamine load to kind of help with that permeability and any kind of leaky gut if I'm having any kind of issues there. What are some other ones that you take all the time?
Well, real quickly, before we go on to that, I have a lot of people that ask me about utilizing glutamine, whether the capsules or in free powdered form. Do you have a preference of how you utilize them?
Yeah, so if you take the pure powdered form and you mix it in water and you have it on an empty stomach, you're supposedly supposed to absorb 30% more. So, you know, taking out an empty stomach in the morning is good. I also have it mixed in with my EEAs, my BCAAs, and then I also take a capsule by First Form. It's called GI Advantage, and it has a lot of different things for gut health, but glutamine is included in that. So the powder is easier for your body to break down. You are able to absorb a little bit more, but I think, you know, it's kind of unrealistic to think that you can only, you know, take it when you're on an empty stomach. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So a couple other things, since you were talking about recovery as well, too, is I will always incorporate a recovery supplement within my regimen, no matter what, where I'm at in my season as well, too. Whether it's an improvement season and I'm, you know, really pushing the weight a little bit more, or, you know, if I'm in a calorie deficit and my body just needs that extra help for repairing itself after workouts that maybe not as much weight, but still it's working within limited calories. I always think a recovery supplement is super important at nighttime. I'll cycle through a couple of them, but I really like Core 21 from First Form right now. It definitely has helped me combat a lot of stress and get a good night's rest, because I definitely think that getting quality sleep is super important no matter where you're at in your season. But that and vitamin C at nighttime are two that I have kept on a regular basis as well, too.
Yeah, and so another good one too by First Form is the night tea. And I like that it has magnesium and zinc in it. Those are two really great ones right before bed. It also has the valerian root and melatonin. So a time when you're going to be able to produce, you know, your body's natural testosterone and growth hormones is when you're sleeping. And so your gains are actually, they can come from your sleep. So like Chris was saying, you know, it's good to take something, whether it be the Core 21 or the night tea before bedtime. Those are both super important for getting that recovery.
The gains.
Yes, to getting the gains. Exactly. What are some other ones? So I want to talk about, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
So sometimes females will kind of fall into the category of estrogen dominance. Those types of females tend to collect body fat in their legs, sometimes the back of their arms, like in the tricep area. And what are some things that you do year round to kind of help out, help combat that?
Yes. So hormones are like my jam. So I'm glad we're going to talk about this. So last year, or maybe a year and a half ago, I actually started taking Vitex at nighttime, which is just like a natural herb that has actually really helped with just a lot of female hormones. And so I have been taking that at night, and that I feel like that was also like an attribute to helping bring back my menstrual cycle as well too. So I've been utilizing the Vitex.
And so,
and then
for our listeners, just really quick.
Yeah.
So Vitex promotes the body's natural production of progesterone. So along with increased cholesterol for Chris, the incorporation of the Vitex helped promote your progesterone production. I just want to make sure that they knew that that's what that supplement does.
No, that was, that was perfect. Thank you. And this is why Amy is an amazing coach. And then also, I've utilized primrose oil too. So those I've utilized on a regular basis, but I have to say, probably my most favorite supplement that I've been utilizing to help balance out my hormones has been Harmony by First Form as well too. That has actually really helped with a lot of my menstrual symptoms. And I feel like that it has also really helped with tightening up, like Amy had said, like my legs, and mostly my legs, my thighs and my legs where I carry extra body fat. So I would say like that has been a huge game changer in utilizing that this year.
So let's talk about some of the components of that that help with that particular thing. So chasteberry, some people pronounce it differently, but that's also similar to the Vitex. That is in Harmony. That also helps with the body's natural production of progesterone. And then it also contains calcium deglucarate, which aids in the elimination of toxins and helps cleanse the liver. It also has a DIM, which is a very short, it's D capital I capital M. And it basically is, I'm going to totally butcher this, but dindolymethylene, something like that. It's short for that. So we call it DIM. It helps reduce estrogen based cancers. So DIM is great for anyone that is estrogen dominant, that, you know, deals with estrogen dominance. It's a great, basically, detoxer of the system. Some other elements that are in that supplement of Harmony are the KSM-66 ashwagandha. It's got maca root. It's got a bunch of other great herbs and adaptogens. So it helps reduce PMS symptoms. It helps make, you know, periods more regular, kind of like balances out mood and things like that. If you get acne, like right before your period, it's a good one to take. So lots of great benefits with the Harmony. Some others that I just kind of incorporate throughout the year are just digestive enzymes. And then I also take a liver supplement. The one that I currently like by First Form is Liver Detox. As long as your liver supplement, if you're taking milk thistle, that's the most important component of a liver supplement. That will help, basically, it'll reduce and reverse any damage caused by, a lot of times females, you know, we've have a past of either taking like oral birth control or things like Advil and things like that, or medications that reduce pain. If you've had a past of like drinking history, your liver can be pretty taxed, but even just your everyday supplements and vitamins, they, all of that gets processed through the liver. You know, it's our car filter. So it's important to keep our liver functioning optimally, especially I find with females, that's a key component because, you know, a lot of the things that we take, like I said, oral contraceptives and things like that, it can really help to have a high functioning liver when it comes to, you know, breaking down excess fat in the liver for optimal body weight. I'll see a lot of females, like, they, once their liver is functioning properly, they start, you know, having an easier time basically managing their weight. What are your thoughts on liver supplements?
Yeah, I definitely feel like it is something not a lot of people think about. I think we're just used to our bodies just being able to digest and break down a lot of things. But I have noticed that when I will utilize a good liver detox, also helps with my digestion a lot as well too. I think probably just helping rid your body of toxins that way. So, yeah, I definitely think like making sure that you're doing what's necessary, looking at the whole spectrum of things, not just like constantly putting things in your body, but also looking at how you can repair it as well. I think it's super important, and liver, like a liver detox, fits very nicely under that umbrella.
Yeah, and so another thing that I wanted to talk about with off season and in season was protein powder. So I know for my athletes, they tend to, when they get down to like a minimal, basically macro budget, it tends to become difficult to have a lot of protein powders in there and still feel satiated. So protein powders, they do taste sweet and yummy, and they're wonderful. You can make protein ice cream. You can like do recipes and kind of get that sweet tooth and still, get your protein intake in for the day. But the negative side of that is if your macro budget's low, they are a processed food, so they get digested quickly versus like a chicken breast where your body has to work hard to break that down. So I would say that's a big difference for me. Also, it has a lot of like artificial flavors and sweeteners and things like that. So the closer I get to show, I pull those out. And then just for food volume, I'll tend to pull it out. So that's kind of my differences for myself. And then I kind of recommend that with athletes because I recommend, especially when they're like leaning out, it's much. You're gonna feel a lot better if you have more like voluminous foods, and whole food choices. Any thoughts to add on the protein powders?
Yeah, I actually was curious, is there a certain time frame that you find is most helpful to pull out those protein powders before a show?
So the general rule of thumb is definitely 4 weeks out for the artificial sweeteners, just for keeping the core
Yeah.
super tight. We want to try to eliminate as many sweeteners and things like that. So I try to encourage them, but I would never tell them, not to. We probably would pull them out at least peak week, for sure. But if people are kind of saying, I am like feeling hungry all the time, I'm very food focused, and I'm finding that things are running through them, I had a lot of people use protein powder during this quarantine because meat wasn't as readily available. And they were finding that they were just feeling hungry all the time, like waiting for their next meal.
Yeah.
Kind of switched them over to a whole food, and then they just started feeling a little bit more full and a little bit better. So if they're in that situation, it's obviously very context dependent. But in that case, I'll usually switch them about at 8 weeks out and try to encourage them to do like whole food choices. The sooner they can
Yeah.
do that, the better. Just in general, I think a whole food option is always king.
Yeah. That makes sense rather than waiting till the last minute.
Yeah. So speaking of food focus and mentality, can you tell us kind of how your world's looking like socially and like mentally, how you're kind of making choices that are maybe different this year versus last year?
Yeah, absolutely. So this year, I think with having more focus on a show day, I think all of my choices are more calculated than they were last year. So I never wanted to sound like that I'm not calculating or I'm not utilizing a specific strategy or plan in my improvement season. But I think there's more things to consider when you're actually trying to get to a level where you're like basically peeled for a show. So evaluating social events where I can make sure that I am still being able to take care of my body as far as like getting the proper nutrition that I need, getting the appropriate amount of sleep that I need, getting the movement that I need. I think I'm a little bit more picky this time around, and that's just because my mentality has shifted into a space where everything counts. Like there's no, to me, there's no canceling out a bad choice, and that may be just something specific that I have adopted may not work for everybody, but it just keeps me on track to where I'm trying to go. Like, if I want to take extra licks or bites, like, I know in my brain that, like, I can't do, like, to me, there's no undoing it. And so I think that just really helps me stay focused and on point. And, you know, with summertime coming up and there's trips and family events and time with friends, I'll be a little bit more picky on making sure, like I said earlier, that I can hit all of those boxes or check all of those boxes of the things that I need to do. And sometimes there are situations where I just know that it's going to take way too much work for me to try and figure out, like, how I'm going to get all my steps in if I'm going on a really, really long road trip, or how I'm going to, you know, constantly have to, like, stop and, like, cook food or pick up food, or how I'm going to pack a large amount of food for a long duration of time. Like, there's always a way. But I think, like, having a little bit of flexibility in an improvement season, as far as, like, I think having extra macros and knowing that, like, you're not trying to, like, use a certain amount of time to hit a certain level. And then in your dieting season, you just have to be, like, super picky and super particular. So it's almost like a little bit, I think, like, razor focused. But I've had to say no to a couple things. And to me, that's okay, because where I'm trying to go and the goal that I'm trying to reach is worth that to me in the end. So I don't know if that answers your question. Sorry, that was kind of a roundabout answer.
No, I think it's good. I think it's just important to remember that if you want to be exceptional, you have to make exceptional choices. You have to do something that not the average person does. You're going to have to make choices that are, you know, centered and in line with your goals. And depending on what season you're in, that's where you're going to have to find that, like, harmony and balance. So I know since I put together your programming, we have upped your cardio game. I try to, you know, in a reverse, taper someone down so that, you know, for a good solid year, you probably didn't have any cardio other than just, like, a step goal. So now we're pushing that up. We've also increased your frequency of weight training. We backed off for a while there to, like, 5 days, back up to 6. And everything is very, like, cardio focused, bringing down the legs and things like that. I know you've also done some different things with, like, posing and your recovery. So I don't know if you wanted to talk about those.
Yeah. So in my dieting phase, as your body is changing, I think you become way more analytical in your posing. So I have always posed on a regular basis. I think in my improvement season, I would do several times a week. When I'm dieting, I'm doing it every single day. And I'm spending more time because I'm looking at the angle of my body and I'm trying to make sure that I'm presenting as well as possible. I think also a big change that I've made in my posing is, like, in my improvement season, it's really easy for me to get in front of a mirror and go through my routine. And when in my dieting season, actually recording myself and not being able to see myself while I'm going through my posing routine has been a huge game changer. Like, let me tell you, of course you can hit your poses when you're staring at yourself in the mirror, but knowing that muscle memory of how your body is supposed to be positioned when you're not looking at yourself is totally different. So I've been doing more of that in my dieting season as well, just turning my phone around, recording myself, and then going back and looking at the video and being like, okay, like, I really need to work on that quarter turn because I am just, like, not rotating my hips enough and it's just widening my physique. Those types of things are different. And then also, this kind of goes hand in hand with the social situation, but I'm way more kind of a princess about my sleep and my dieting phase of my prep, because recovery, like we had talked about previously, is super important. I think in my improvement season, I'll, like, be a little bit more lenient about my bedtime, especially if I'm going to a social event. You know, I'll stay out late and sleep in earlier the next day. When I'm dieting, and I'm trying to reach that elite level, I really have to be systematic. Like, I try not to overstress about it. Like, if I don't get into bed at like 10 o'clock every single day, like there may be a couple times where, you know, it's like 10:30, but I also know that I can't go out to a party and be out till midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, because it just doesn't benefit what I'm trying to do. And like Amy said, if you want to be exceptional, you have to do exceptional things. So sleep has also been another adjustment that I make depending on what season I'm in.
And I know we're kind of running short here on time, but I think that you, one of the things that you had talked about that was a difference in improvement season versus dieting phase is caffeine intake for you.
Yeah, that's a huge one. So in my improvement season, I don't really drink any caffeine at all. I don't take pre-workout. Like, I don't, if I do any caffeine, it'll be on a, like a case by case basis where I may just feel like I need a little bit before like a workout. So I'll have BCAAs or EAAs with caffeine in them. But other than that, I don't drink coffee. Like, I don't use fat burners. I don't do pre-workout. Like, my off season is repair season, and like my adrenals are part of that. And then in a dieting phase, then I'm way more strategic about my caffeine intake, whether it's, you know, a fat burner that's used just to kind of like tie up loose ends when you're getting close to that show day. But I'll watch that in conjunction with, if I do have like a cup of coffee in the morning, like how much caffeine am I really putting into my body? And I make sure that the duration of how much caffeine intake I have is not months and months and months and months, because, you know, it's just, one, it's not the best thing for like anyone with stress and anxiety. And two, I just feel like it's not helpful for your adrenals at all as well.
Yeah. So, and so that's why we are very strategic about, like when you use 1DB Goddess, you know, it does have some caffeine in it. It also has like the, basically like the Goddess blend. So it's got your DIM, your rhodiola, things like that, ashwagandha. But we have been very strategic. And in fact, if you, I don't know if you mind sharing, but like this last week we've had you do kind of a caffeine detox, and,
yes.
And we kind of just cycle through, you know, 4 to 6 weeks of being on a fat burner like that, where we don't want your body getting super used to it. But we do, it does help, you know, like as we're getting closer to the end, you know, we'll rotate those in. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that before we close out.
No, I like doing my caffeine detox. I know some, okay, so I did one before and I felt awful because I didn't use anything to help me with the detox, just the detox. I'll just say that. But I definitely think, I know we've mentioned this on the podcast before, but that PhenoFlex caffeine detox supplement for just a week, I actually have felt incredible. So, and I definitely think that will help benefit when I start utilizing fat burners in the future. So definitely a fan of that one.
Yeah. Great. Well, we will, if you are curious about any of these types of supplements that we basically gravitate towards, we will put the links in the show notes so that you can refer to those in our link. But we do appreciate so much having this suggestion, so please keep them coming. And I've just been, I just feel so lucky to have this opportunity to help anyone that we can. So anything that you guys want to know, please don't hesitate. You can find us on Instagram at Prep Life Podcast and at Glam Girl Bikini. We would sure like to hear what you want to listen to, so that would be wonderful. If you would like to apply for the team, you can find us at glamgirlbikini.com. Hit the getting started guide, or hit the get started button. I don't know why I just said that. There's no guide. Sorry. You get that after you say that. So anyway, you're going to hit the get started button, and that's where you can apply. And from there, we will set up a phone consultation to make sure it's the right fit for both parties. And we are always looking for those hardworking unicorns. So this is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger, signing off with my fabulous co-host.
And this is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro. Thanks for listening, guys.